All right. Thank you, young folks. That's the gospel in song. Amen. Thank God it's true. Thank the Lord for the power of the cross. Open your Bibles to the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 20, getting on over toward the end. Revelation chapter 20. I'm thankful for the book of Revelation. You know, if you didn't have it, you'd know there was a heaven, but you wouldn't know much about it. You'd know there was a hell, but you wouldn't know much about it. Book of Revelation gives us a lot of detail on a lot of things. It's the wrap-up book. It brings things to a conclusion. It shows how it turns out. I'm always encouraged to read the back of the book and see who wins. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the subject here in chapter 20. That's the last judgment. The last judgment. Chapter 20 only has 15 verses in it. A lot of things have happened before you get to chapter 20 in Revelation. I believe the church gets caught up, raptured out. The trumpet sounds, and John's caught up into heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. And from that time on, it's future all the way through the book. And you and I are living right at the last verse of chapter 3 in the book of Revelation. And that's the Laodicea, and I hate to say it, but the lukewarm, cold church age that comes when apathy seems to be under the steering wheel and controlling things even too much in our churches today. Look at it in Revelation 1, verse 15. If I just read the chapter and you paid attention to it, you'd have a tremendous message. Time will not allow me to expound all the verses, but we'll pull our subject from it this morning. Revelation chapter 20, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I want to make a point. I'm going to read some more, but if you went back to the end of chapter 19, last couple of verses, verse 20 of chapter 19, you'd find that the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. I took you back to that because if we get back to verse 10 where I left off in chapter 20, it says the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Do you understand 1,000 years takes place between chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 10? Do you understand the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist, the false prophet leading all the false religion that's been cast into the lake of fire 1,000 years earlier? They're still burning. And now the devil, the big cheese, the head man, he's cast in with them after 1,000 years. There's a gap there. 1,000 years later. Pick it up with me again in chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I wish I could take time to go through all the verses. Tremendous. These are last things. This book has a lot of the last things listed for us. Now, today, this morning, we're on a Western theme. We're talking about the roundup. This is the last judgment, but in a sense, we could call it the last roundup. Now, when you got the word last, it just tells you that if it's last, there must have been something else in front of it. I mean, if you got the last of the cake, there must have been other cake first, right? Somebody got it. So the truth of the matter is, we can understand that some last things. And here we're at the last judgment in our context here today. And on our Western theme today, as we think about the book of Revelation, I think about, as the young folks sang a while ago, and especially the first song. Do you understand? They were saying, if a cowboy to mount up and ride, and they had a eternal view there. Do you understand? This Bible is the moral basis. The sheriff was mentioned. The morality of our county. Do you know, the further we get from the book, the worse trouble we get in? This is our foundation. This is the best that we're going to learn, is from God's word. And so when it comes to the motive behind a song or a law or whatever else is passed, brother, we got to get back to what is true and accurate and the final authority, which is God's word. Amen. I think about some of the Western songs I used to listen to a little bit as a kid. Didn't understand them much then. I wasn't saved. Didn't even go to church as a kid. But I remember them singing about the little doggies being round up for that great roundup in the sky. I remember them singing songs like the Ghost Riders in the Sky. I didn't know that was taken out of Revelation chapter 6. But it was. And so this book is that moral foundation where truth permeates our society today. Much of it, people that don't even believe the Bible, know anything about it, go around quoting it without knowing they're quoting it many times. I want to point out just a few things here that God does have a roundup. There's a roundup for Christians. We believe, and that's very close. We're believing the trumpet could sound any time and God's people called out. I'll tell you what, we are restraining influence in this world today. The Christians are. We heard from the sheriff a while ago, and the moral condition of our county is much better because there's a moral restraint from God's people and standing for something. The sheriff couldn't do it. No law could do it, except the majority of the people want it done and want to stand for what's right. And I look right here and realize that in this chapter setting, it's a roundup of judgment. It's called by Bible students the Great White Throne Judgment. And it is the final one that we see in the Bible. I want to ask some questions and answer just briefly. To begin with, when will it take place? Well, in verse 3 right here, it gives us a clue. It tells us here, and cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up with a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years. Hey, we know the great white throne judgment comes after Satan meets his end, after he's cast into the lake of fire. We realize it comes after 1,000 years that Jesus Christ has come back and set his kingdom on this earth. Did you ever, I know it's not really, but it's called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what? Come. On earth. It'll be on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is coming. It's not now. Satan is the prince and power of the air. He is the god of this world. We do have to have laws and enforce them because evil is out there today. It's real. But there's a time coming when Jesus sets up his kingdom. Somebody says it'll be a military dictatorship. Yes, it will. But it'll be a benevolent dictator. Amen. It'll be a good one. And it is coming. He's going to rule for 1,000 years, and Satan's going to be chained up. Hey, one grandma was told by a smart aleck college student when he got back home on vacation. He said, "Grandma," said, "you always fussing about the devil." Said, "I found out he's been chained." She said, "If he's been chained, it's a mighty long chain." She meant, brother, he's still active. Yes, he's going to be chained for 1,000 years. Then he's going to be released at the end of that 1,000. And the great white throne judgment, the last judgment here, comes after he's been released and had his final attempt to again rally mankind against the Lord. So who will we look here and we say, when it's going to happen? It's going to come after the 1,000-year reign. It's going to come after Satan is cast into the pit. It's going to come at the time of the last resurrection, when bodies are going to join souls that have already gone on to judgment. Do you understand, at this judgment, I'm not sure all it will look like, but bodies are going to be reunited with souls and stand before the judge of the universe to be judged. Do you understand it's in our body where we fight with sin and we commit sin today? The murderer uses a body. The dope dealer uses his body. All the evil that you can mention, we do it in a body. And that body one day is going to stand before God to answer for the deeds done in the body. Amen. Called works here in our text. Now, I look around and realize today that I think Satan seems to be increasing his activity. He seems to be having his last fling, as it was. I read in verse 3 here where it says that he deceives the nations. Deceive the nations. Now, the time when he won't be able to do it, but he's doing it right now. Boy, is he ever doing it right now, deceiving the nations. The biggest deceptions are still on the way, folks. I'm hoping the Lord Jesus comes. I end almost every one of my prayers personally with, "Lord, come on." How about today? It's all right with me today, Lord. Just come on. Now, you know what? God is long-suffering and merciful, and he hasn't yet cut off his mercy for those that will trust him and be saved. And I recognize that. But I believe the biggest deception's on the way. I don't know if you noticed lately, but there's a lot of talk on TV, History Channel, and other places about extraterrestrials. Watch out for it. Even the Vatican, Rome, if you please, is saying we may be getting a phone call from E.T., from the extraterrestrials. Now, I hope they don't call collect, or we'll have to pay for it with American taxes, but I'm joking a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, we seem like we're getting prepared to accept. The Vatican said that they may be our friends. We may find out that Jesus was just a star child that they sent. Now, that's deception, folks. That is big, big deception. And it's very well could be on the way much closer than you think. See, we've been programmed from the Twilight Zone to all the modern stuff today to think maybe they're the good guys. I still remember that Twilight Zone episode where it found out that the book the extraterrestrial had was a cookbook. Remember that? How to cook humans, amen? All right, I know that's deep history for some of you. I wasn't born then. But when will this take place, this great white throne judgment, this last judgment? It'll take place after Satan's had his last fling, where he'll not be able to deceive the nations anymore. And then I look, who will be there? Sort of the roll call, if you please, who's there. You can see the roll call. Just flip over one chapter. We're in chapter 20. Jump over to chapter 21. Pick it up in verse 8. You want to know what the roll call of hell is? Here it is. Here it is. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, this is who's going to be there now. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers. That's your dopers right there, the sorcerers. And idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you to go back to the top of the list. The fearful? Does that sound like a bad guy, the fearful? How about the one that's fearful to confess Christ as his Savior? How about the one that's ashamed of the Lord and fearful of what his friends will think? He's on top of the list. Look what's next in unbelievers. Is unbelief so bad? Unbelief is behind so much evil today could not imagine. When you throw God's word aside, you broke the yardstick. You have no accurate measurement to go by. You have no foundation left. And so the unbelieving and the abominable, now we know what the abominable is. We can run a list off on them. But notice how they're all grouped together here. I call it the roll call in hell. We recognize that crowd today, the abominable. Some of it's laughable if it wasn't so serious. On our own radio station, I heard where Governor Brown out in California just signed a bill to force insurance companies to cover fertility for gays. Did you all know what I just said? The insurance has got to pay for fertility treatment for gays. Two men gonna have a baby. Two women gonna have a baby. No, they have to steal and abduct so-called adopt babies. They can't create, procreate, no way. But we're gonna somehow or another pay the bill for them anyway. List them so it won't be discrimination. We have absolutely lost our cotton picking minds in this country. There's a bad crowd out there growing. I mean, the ACLU, I call it the American Communist Union. ACLU, searching out to find any ball game or any teacher or anybody that says a prayer anywhere. And town hall meetings trying to stop them from opening in prayer. Probably, you heard the sheriff lead us in prayer a while ago, they'd probably say that was wrong. Isn't that amazing? Because he's a public servant representing elected to the government. Well, thank God we're not paying them that much attention. But some are. You got that crowd growing today. Did you see where they got a hold of the Air Force Academy and they're fussing because on their honor oath that they ended it with "so help me God," and they're trying to stop that. It's really, really wild. Did you see in New York where they've long time quit celebrating or having a holiday for Christmas or Easter, but now they're going to institute the Muslim holidays? They said, well, 12% of our students are Muslim. Well, how about the other 88%? Huh? What about them? I mean, we've gone nuts in our country. Political correctness is killing us. And I tell you, there's a mounted, organized, the sheriff said it a while ago, attack on Florida, but there's an attack on Christianity that is obvious across the globe in America, which was founded as a Christian nation, founded on this book. Is now being denied the presence of God in any social place, any public forum. Amazing. It's too bad. That crowd is growing, but who's there? Well, I just read you the roll call, but let me say who else is there. An honest judge is there. That's who's sitting behind the bench in the great white. Not only an honest judge, a perfect judge. I thank God we got a lot of honest judges today, and every now and then we find a dishonest one. But here's the perfect one, and it says in the scripture I read that the heaven and earth fled from before his face. Do you understand? I don't know about you. I lost my license one time when I was 16 years old for driving too fast. I was actually racing the sheriff, Brother Judd, and didn't know it. He was in an unmarked car, and he was speeding, and so was I, and I just kept on. And when he turned the light on, I realized I'd messed up. Lost my license for 60 days. I have never lived a longer period of time on this earth than I did getting my license back. 60 days. But you know what? I went before a judge and I didn't like to see his face. But here's a judge you're not going to like to see his face. The heaven and the earth flees from this judge's face. It's not a pleasant thing to go before the judge now, but how about then? And the books are open. Now, I believe even the Bible is one of those books, and I can't get off into that, but one of the books is the book of life. And names are written in the book of life. If you're born again, if you're saved today, your name is going to be in the book. How many of you remember several years ago we had a deaf ministry here. We have one in our church, but we had a group come, good people. And one of the women who could not speak got up and pantomimed or signed to a song called Search the Book Again. It was a scene before the judgment. And the books were opened. And she sang, Search the Book Again. Oh, please search the book again. They couldn't find her name. And I want to tell you what. The Holy Spirit got a hold of that song, though she didn't say a word. And Brother Wade, it broke my heart. It broke. I could see somebody, please search it again. Have you ever stood in line waiting for your name to be called? Some of you men with military background, do you remember mail call? Do you remember being out there months away from home, and finally the ship or the plane come in with the mail, and everybody gathered around, and you waited for your name to be called. And what a sad time. What a heartbreak when your name wasn't called. You didn't get a letter. Couldn't help but feel somebody don't love me. Well, I got news for you at the great white throne judgment. What a feeling it's going to be when the books are searched and your name is not there. You're not in the book of life. You're not saved. The awfulness of that. I look at it, who will be there? Oh yeah, there'll be those who don't have their name in the book. And then we look and say, what's the judgment for? Well, verse 12 says they're going to be judged by works. I understand that, but you need to understand that this groups that show up there are not you and I today. They're not church age saints. They're not those saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are others. I'm talking about from Adam to the last. I'm talking about a group we cannot imagine, but they're going to be there and they're going to be judged, and not one thing they ever done is going to be overlooked. It's going to be there. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful sometime. I've been pastoring in a town where folks have known me from the third grade on up. I'm glad some of them got poor memories. I'm glad they can't remember a few things. I hadn't pastored here but a few years, and I was shaking hands at the door, and a lady come out looking a little more white-haired. I finally recognized her, but she said, Mickey, I can't believe it's you I had to come see. She was the principal of the grammar school I went to. I knew what she meant. I knew what was in her mind. But I'm glad there's a lot of folks forgot some things. I'm more glad God's forgotten them, because they've been placed under the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. Oh, yeah. They'll be judged here. Their works. Now we are in a day of evil works. And if you were to turn over to 2 Timothy, you could read a list that's ahead of your newspaper today. And I mean, if you go over there and read this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. My, talk to the sheriff about that, brother. Covetousness, that's behind most all sin you could name. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Sheriff, I agree with you. Big problem is parents today. Need to be looking after the young folks. Unthankful, unholy. Watch this one. Verse 3. Without natural affection, we need fertility pills because they're without natural affection. Crazy stuff. Truce breakers, false accusers. incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Do you know what can get you in trouble today? Just doing good. Isn't that amazing? You do good and I didn't do it, I hate you because you done it. Now that's Southern boy reasoning, but that's exactly what I see going on. I've told the story before, but they say if you put lobsters in a cage, one of them by himself will climb out. But if you put two or three in the same cage, you can leave the lid off. Because as that lobster climbs up, another one will reach up and pull him down. None of them will get out, because every time one gets started up, another one will pull him down. We live in a day and time when men get mad at those that do better than they do. Envious of those that perform better. Some of that envy translates right on down. It starts early in school and goes right on up. It's too bad, but it's the truth. Look here and see what they're judged for. We're in a day of these evil works. Unbelief is the most evil of all. Revelation 21 said the unbelieving. You want to know what a work of God is, and you don't get saved by your works. I hope you understand that. But if you want to do the work of God, and you flipped over to John chapter 6, I'll read you two verses that tells you what the work of God is. Check yourself and see if you've done this. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they said unto him, unto Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Question. What might we do that we do the works of God? Jesus answered in verse 29 and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Have you ever done the work of God? You say, well, I helped the widow across the street. Well, I fed some hungry kids. Well, that's good, but have you ever done the work of God? The work of God is described here, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Do you see that? Do you understand that if you'll believe on Jesus, then your works will count? You see, you don't work to the cross, you work from the cross. You come to Jesus, you get saved, then your works will count what you do for God. They will not count to save your soul up to the cross, but only past the cross. Now check yourself out. Have you done the work of God? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what Jesus himself said in his word. That's the work of God. Have you done it? Well, that's the important work of all, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, to end this, why many will not be there. You heard the kids singing it. They'll not be there because their sins have already been judged. Jesus has already paid for it. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Somebody says, you think you're pretty good? No, I was pretty bad. Jesus saved me. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Trust in him, believing on him, that's the thing that will stand the judgment. Now, I don't believe believers will be at the great white throne judgment unless they're there to do some judging. Maybe even fallen angels may be there to be judged. And Paul said to people at the church at Corinth, telling them not to go to law with each other, he said, don't you know we even gonna judge angels? It may take place at this place. I don't know. Christians won't be there for judgment. They've already been earlier, at least 1,000 years early, to the judgment seat of Christ, not for sin, but to get reward for having served God after they got saved. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. But you know what? Right here, if God lets us be even viewers, and maybe he will, or maybe he's got a job for us, but our sin's already been judged. Amen. We don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment judging our sin. It's already had its sentence met on the cross of Calvary when Jesus took our place. I'm so glad of that. 1 Peter 2:24 says, speaking of Jesus, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Bore our sins, mine and yours, on his own body on the tree. He paid for it. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And he, God, hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That's a debt already been paid. Sin's already been paid off. And I'll stand before God as though I never sinned because Jesus took my place. Oh, that's the wonderful truth of the gospel. That's what it's all about. The good news that our price has been paid. Redemption is possible because he paid the price. We've been redeemed, bought back. You know, that's what this book contains. That's what it's all about. That's why we invite you to church to hear the good news that Jesus paid for your sins. And to accept that payment, to trust him, to confess him as your Savior, that's the most important thing. Recently, a story came to light with me over in San Diego. That's an island of Cape Verde, I believe it is, over there. Off out of the ways from the west coast of Africa. San Diego in the early years, several hundred years back, was a place where slaves was processed. Tribes would fight, and one tribe would capture another there in Africa. They'd bring them out to the seacoast, and ships would take them a little ways over there to the processing center on the island of San Diego. And on that island, sometimes those slaves, a few of them would escape. It was an island. They couldn't go anywhere, so they had to run up into the high mountains and hide up there. And over the years, the people thought it wasn't worth it, the slave owners, dealers, not worth it to go up there and get them, but the people began to accumulate up in the mountains, 2,000-3,000 strong after, and they created their own villages. And as the years went by, and even as England and America backed off the slave trade, and by the way, as much of the world still into the slave trade today. You just don't know about it. It's plentiful today. But as the slave trade died down, these people up in the mountains, they wouldn't come down and be a citizen. They wouldn't vote. They wouldn't take a government handout. They didn't get the education. But they lived up there in fear of the society down below. And if strangers come, they'd run them off. They'd throw stones at them. Whatever, they'd run them off. They were heathen in the sense of the word that we use it. They really didn't have a religion, some paganism stuff, but they had one thing. They had an old tattered book that even back when they were running from the slave traders, a missionary gave them. They couldn't read it. It was an old tattered book, but they worshiped it. They kept it as the center of worship, but they didn't know what was in it. They couldn't read. They were called rebels. And in that word, it was meant we don't want anything to do with anybody else. We actually had a word for the tribe, rebelados. You got the word rebel in it. But they worshiped an old book. There's a group of people, and it's growing, and it's done a tremendous job going around all over the world into paganism. Now, they might not quite be my stripe, but close, showing the Jesus film. They show it in every language of the world that they can. And through God's providence, a man went over there with that film. And once in a while, there'd be one of those rebels come out of the mountains and slip around in the crowd, and he saw a place where he was showing the film. And he came to the preacher after the film was over, and he said, "Look, I can get you in where you're not supposed to go. I can get you into my village. Will you come up and show the film?" And the preacher agreed and was happy to. And he went up into the mountains of those villages, of those rebel slaves, been there for 200 or 300 years. And the man showed him, we've got a tattered book, but we don't know what it says. And the preacher had the privilege of showing the film and telling him what was in the book that they worshiped. Isn't that something, folks? Found out the man that invited him was actually a relative of the man that received the old Bible from a missionary hundreds of years back. And there it was. They knew it was good. They knew it was right. They worshiped it, but they didn't know what was in it. They didn't know the God that was in it. They didn't know the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, that died for their sins. They didn't know that was in there. They didn't know their redemption had been bought and paid for. And I thought about that. How sad. And then how wonderful they received it as it was told, what's in the book. Now I thought about Americans. There's the book. There's the book. Some of them might even tell you they worship the book. But they can't tell you what's in it. And they don't know the Savior that's in it. They know very little about it. I wonder, could it be true with you today, here or in Radio Land? You know about the book, but you don't know what's in it. You don't know about the Savior that paid for your sins on the cross, paid for your redemption, that you could be saved. There's a big roundup coming, folks, of judgment. You don't have to be at that one. You can come receive Christ today and let Him take your judgment and Him pay your price. That's exactly what you'll do. I don't believe you came to this building this morning by accident. I believe you're here to hear what you just heard, that Jesus died for you, paid for your sin. Trust Him. Come to Him. Receive Him. Confess Him. And your name can be written in that book. You'll not have to say, please search the book again. Oh, no. He said, whosoever confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You can confess Him this morning. We're going to stand and sing. The majority of the people around you have been saved, but they did just what I'm asking you to do. That's leave that seat.